Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. And joining me this morning, right away, kicking off the show, we have one of the top-rated H-backs in this year's NFL Draft. We have Drake Dunsmore of Northwestern joining us. Drake, how you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show, Brian.
No problem. Great to have you. Now, tell me, right off the bat, what is a super back? That's what Northwestern lists you as your position. What is a super back? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I get this question all the time, and I'm sure I'm going to have to answer for the rest of my life. But, you know, it's really just an H-back. A lot of teams in the NFL, a lot of college teams that use, you know, an H-back, or they call it their F receiver, and it's a guy that can move inside, be an inline blocking tight end, can play the slot, can go in motion, and do, you know, even be in the backfield. And someone at Northwestern, before I showed up, coined the term super back.
Do you have a S on your chest like Superman?
Oh, no, I wish.
So do you see yourself as being more of one or the other, like a tight end, a fullback? Do you identify more with either of those positions?
Well, technically, I didn't play a lot of traditional fullback at Northwestern because we were a spread team. I still did, you know, fullback type work, you know, in our offense. But, you know, I can't really say that I identify with, you know, tight end, fullback, or receiver more. You know, I like playing all those positions equally.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I get the shot, you know, at the next level to do that.
Any preference between blocking and catching?
Well, catching is always fun. But, you know, I think for any player at this position, pride comes from being able to block. So, you know, it's kind of two separate animals there. You know, I think any tight end worth his salt has got to be able to block. So.
Absolutely. Now, you've overcome a pretty serious medical issue in your life. I think it has to do with blood clots, but I'll let you explain it. Can you tell us a little more about it and how you recovered to put together a pretty productive college career?
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, it was kind of in the middle of my time here at Northwestern. It was in 2010, and it's kind of a long story, and it's kind of spread over a couple of years. But basically, I was getting some blood clots, and I went to a doctor who was a specialist, and he determined that I had thoracic outlet syndrome. And basically, it was just, you know, the way I'm structurally built, my body, as soon as I put on a certain amount of weight, there was a rib and a vein that a rib and a muscle that was impinging a vein and giving me blood clots. So he went in, performed a 7.5-hour surgery, took out a rib and a muscle, and right by the right side of my neck and shoulder. And within about 3-4 weeks, I was back to running and lifting, and haven't had a problem since.
Well, that's fantastic. I can imagine at the NFL Combine that was you had to explain that a lot, or did you have doctors poking and prodding you and trying to figure out this what had happened?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the way it works at the Combine, you go into 5 different rooms, you know, to meet with different teams. Every team sends their own crew of doctors. And every time I was on the table, you know, they all had smiles ear to ear listening to the story, just, you know, comparing notes, and they were just eating it up. So, absolutely, I was getting poked and prodded.
Back to football. What special teams experience do you have? What can you provide a team that might draft you?
Well, you know, in my 4 years of playing time at Northwestern, I played every special team. So, yeah, you know, I have no problems playing any one of them. And, you know, I think I'd really embrace that at the next level.
I mean, you're an offensive player. Can you make tackles?
Of course. I think I got a few tackles on tape from my freshman year.
Fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about the Indiana game? You had 4 touchdowns. Was that the best game of your career?
You know, I can't really say it wasn't. It just so happens it was. But, you know, it's funny. What's funny about that game is, you know, the tight end position was kind of out of the game plan based on what we saw on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened, you know, we came in the right situations and they called my number and happened to call it four times. So it ended up being a great game for me.
I think I saw somewhere you're Northwestern's all-time leader in receptions. Do I have that correct? Or among tight ends?
I don't know about that. Maybe for tight ends.
Yeah, that's what I think. But but congratulations on that. You know, here in Wisconsin, we're focused on the Green Bay Packers a lot. Did you happen to interview with the Green Bay Packers at the Combine or anywhere else for that matter?
I did not, but I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers and what they do with their tight ends. And you know, I'd love to somewhere down the line, you know, get a shot to play with those guys.
Yeah, well, they always say, like, sometimes the teams that don't show interest in you actually do. So, Drake, Drake, we here at Cheesehead TV wish you all the luck in the world. And if you happen to be drafted by the Packers, we'd love to talk to you again.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Drake Dunsmore, tight end for Northwestern, H-back, superback tight end from Northwestern, joining us here on the show. Glad to have him. Glad to be joined by him. And happy Friday, everyone. Talking some Packers football today, getting ready for the NFL draft once again, like we always are here on Cheesehead TV. So that's what we're doing today. Getting back to it. Less than a week now. Less than a week. Yesterday was exactly 1 week. Now we're less than a week away from the NFL draft, and you know, it's exciting. The excitement is palpable, right? So you know, I personally can't wait. I mean, that shouldn't come as unexpected though. That I'm excited about it, but I think most fans are. You know, it's just. Less than a week away, there's going to be, you know, 24 new Packers in, like, about a week's time. You know, a little more than a week, I guess. The draft starts, and the Packers have 12 draft choices. Not to say that they couldn't trade up or down and get more or less. It's really hard to see the Packers ending up with more than 12. But perhaps less. But even after the draft ends, they're going to... You know, they're going to sign about a dozen undrafted guys. So, I mean, we're literally two dozen new Packers in about a week's time. So all sorts of new guys to analyze and talk about. And that's what you love as a fan, to do that. And that's what we're getting ready to do here. You know, that's what this whole show today is going to be dedicated to. I mean, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. By all means, please feel free to comment on our live blog. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, all those comments will show up on our live blog, or feel free to use the handy dandy Twitter widget under the broadcast player. So I don't think comments are being approved today. So you're going to have to use Twitter to comment on our live blog. So feel free to do that, and happy to have everybody join us. And by the way, if you don't want to tweet, you want to call into the show, the phone number 347-352-0154, always available if you want to call. I know we don't get a ton of call-ins here at Railbird Central. Everybody likes to communicate online, but we have that option available to you. So, you know, NFL draft talk, you know, one of the big topics yesterday was Ted Thompson, Packers general manager, held his pre-draft press conference yesterday at Lambeau Field. And you know, one of the big topics, of course, was the status of safety Nick Collins and what, you know, what's the future hold for him? What's in store for him? You know, I've talked about this a zillion times. Nick Collins suffered a serious neck injury last season, spent the season in injured reserve. Now contemplating his future, will he or won't he come back? Might he retire? We just don't know. It's literally flip a coin. Literally. I mean, I can't make heads or tails of it one way or the other. I couldn't predict yes or no, will he or won't he come back? Literally, flip a coin. I mean, that's not to say that's what Nick Collins is doing. You know, I'm sure he's carefully considering his future, but I'm saying, as far as, you know, whether it's yes or no, will he or won't he come back? It's a 50-50 chance, is the way I see it. And so that has you contemplating, you know, what are the Packers going to do at the safety position? Something myself and Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel talked about at length yesterday. If you haven't seen it yet, I was happy to be asked to join Tyler in the podcast at JS Online. So we talked a lot of NFL draft topics. It was great being able to join him and just talk some Packers football. And even more humbling that I was actually Bob McGinn's replacement for that show. That's a pretty high honor in my regard. I nowhere near Bob McGinn level, but happy to be asked to be joined nonetheless. So I suggest you go check that out, jsonline.com, in their sports and Packers section. But we talked at length about the safety position. You know, what do the Packers do if Nick Collins doesn't come back? That's not a great safety class. We've talked about safeties here on the show before because it's a position I personally profile at our Pro Football Draft Preview Guide. And, you know, I spend a lot of time taking a look at the safeties. And beyond Mark Barron, you know, I personally don't think there's a whole lot of high round safeties. Guys are worthy of going in the high rounds, you know, first and second. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I if the Packers don't address it in the first round, do they address it, you know, not till late or something like that? I mean, if they have the chance to draft Mark Barron, do they pull the trigger? It'd almost be hard not to. I do think he's a really good player. Does worry me a little bit that in that interview from the Combine said he's not sure he can conform to the rules protecting offensive players. You worry that maybe he's a personal foul penalty waiting to happen. But, I mean, the Packers may have a big need at safety regardless of whether Nick Collins... Well, I mean, if Nick Collins does come back, it won't be a huge need. But still, Packers could use some depth at the position regardless. So, I mean, there's that to consider and there's that to think about if you're Ted Thompson and the rest of the Packers brass considering this, you know, year's crop of safeties. And you know, beyond Mark Barron, there's Harrison Smith of Notre Dame. I talked about it on the podcast yesterday at JS Online. I'm not a big fan of Harrison Smith. He's okay. I guess I just definitely don't think he's first round material. There's zero interceptions that senior year. What you want big time playmaker out of your first rounders, and not to say he couldn't develop into something good, but I mean, just I just think there's risk, you know, investing a first rounder into a player that's just going to be meh. You know, you take a look at a guy like AJ Hawk, great guy, first rounder, average production. And you know, I shouldn't say, if you're getting the production out of, you know, Harrison Smith that you get out of AJ Hawk in the first round, it's hard to complain. I mean, the Packers won a Super Bowl with AJ Hawk. He's been a solid starter, far from spectacular. But, I mean, a solid starter for, what, 5-6 years? I mean, that you can live with. You can live with. And I suppose especially with the 28th pick in the draft as opposed to the 5th. But, you know, I think you can do better in the first round. And maybe Harrison Smith, the second, third rounder, perhaps. You know, he's a guy that's going to be a lot like A.J. Hawk in that he's assignment sure. He's a guy who's going to know what's going on, and I think he can help you in that regard. And he's athletic. I just, you know, you hope that a first-round safety is a guy who's going to get you some interceptions as a first-rounder. I mean, you expect Pro Bowl out of the first round. You hope for Pro Bowl out of the first round. I don't know if that's what Harrison Smith is. So that's why I think you might pass on him there. Beyond that, it's a crapshoot with the safeties, the rest of them, in this year's crop. I really like Antonio Allen. really like him. You know, I've said this before as well. Antonio Allen, South Carolina, good strong safety, has played near the line of scrimmage. He's practically a linebacker at what he did at South Carolina. It's going to take a while for him to develop into a safety. I think he's got the athletic ability to do it. It's just going to take some time. Brandon Taylor of LSU, another good guy. Not great, though. You know, mid-round guy, I think, mid-round talent. You know, I kind of do like a lot of the mid-round strong safety types. You know, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Kelsey McCray of Arkansas State. Winston Guy of Kentucky. Sean Richardson of Vanderbilt. Matt Daniels of Duke. I like those guys, you know, as mid-rounders. Not ready to be starters in the NFL right away, but I think they could develop into one. And I like that. I really think the Packers got to find a strong safety type. Hopefully a good athletic strong safety type. PacBlink182 on the live blog comments, Dre Kirkpatrick could be converted to free safety. I guess I've never heard that before. Daquan Menzie, the other Alabama cornerback, he looks like he could very well be converted to safety. Dre Kirkpatrick, I personally don't see that happening. I mean, certainly, you're welcome to your own opinion, and I've been wrong before. Dre Kirkpatrick, though, as far as the Packers are concerned, I think they stay away from Kirkpatrick because of the off-the-field issues there. You know, he was arrested for, what, marijuana possession, I think it was. And not to say that's the hugest thing in the world. I suppose appropriate that we're talking about that today here on 420 on Railbird Central. You know, do you want to invest a first-rounder in that type of guy? You know, is that, or, you know, would you rather take a chance on that in the second round or later? And who, I mean, I thought Dre Kirkpatrick is a really good player. I really did think he played well at Alabama. I mean, part of the reason they had such a dominant defense at Alabama. And boy, was it dominant. Every time I look back on Alabama's season, I'm more impressed every time what they were able to do with that defense. Kirkpatrick at corner, Upshaw at linebacker, Hightower at linebacker. Unbelievable. Daquan Menzie. I mean, the list goes on. Josh Chapman at nose tackle. So charges were dropped against Kirkpatrick. I just don't think he's in the mix for the Packers, but who knows? Who knows? So that's the safety position, you know, for the Packers. You know, as we're less than a week away from the draft here, and you know, we've talked about it here a bunch of times. Packers need help on defense. I mean, it doesn't matter almost the position they draft, you know, especially in the early rounds, the first round part in particular. I mean, the Packers could draft any position, and they need help at it. I mean, you would like to think perhaps that the Packers are pretty well set at cornerback. I'd like to think that. But man, you don't give up the most passing yards in NFL history without having some issues. You know, you'd like to think that between Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, and Sam Shields, you know, you're pretty well set there. But then you look back at the season they had, you're just like, what went on? You know, Charles Woodson, Hall of Famer, Tremont Williams, for my buck, the best player on the team in 2010, and Sam Shields, an up-and-coming player, and you look at their production in 2011, like, whoa, Charles Woodson's getting older. Sam Shields, man, I don't know what to make of Sam Shields, really. I really don't know what to make of Sam Shields. You know, I've heard a lot of people say he's going to really benefit from you know, being in an off-season program because he missed it in his second year. And man, I hope people are right when they say that. I hope so. But I mean, Sam Shields, you know that Mike McCarthy hit on it. They were a poor tackling team last year, and Sam Shields was probably the worst on the team at tackling, bar none. I don't even think that's in question. Not to say other people haven't had issues, but man, I mean, that Sam Shields almost scared of contact. Being a little guy, having to take on big guys, pretty good in his pass coverage. That's why the Packers made that move. You know, late last season, the playoff game, Jared Bush playing on early downs, Sam Shields playing on late downs at the cornerback position. You know, Jared Bush is very aggressive, getting him on the field to do a little tackling, and then getting Sam Shields on the field, passing downs, late downs, for his pass coverage skills. And you know, I kind of wonder what the Packers will do. Would they consider continuing that this year? I mean, who knows? I mean, it's going to depend upon the development of all players, how Sam Shields improves. Maybe he does make a big leap. Hope so. I hope. By all means, Sam, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And Jared Bush, you know, and maybe he makes a big leap as well. It's hard to see that. Now, was Jared Bush in his, you know, what, sixth year in the NFL? Something like that. So, I mean, I think we know what Jared Bush can provide by now. But, I mean, the Packers just signed him to a big contract. He's a fighter. He's a fighter. That's for sure. And now the Packers have to consider, you know, what Devon House can provide as well. You know, what does Devon House provide this team? Can he be a starter? It would be really hard for me to see him cracking the starting line or perhaps like the nickelback role, you know, this year, your nickel cornerback. But who knows? Who knows? And maybe the Packers draft a cornerback, whether it's Dre Kirkpatrick or Stephon Gilmore. I don't see the Packers drafting either of them, but I would love them to have Gilmore. I just don't see him dropping to the Packers. So that's where I'm at in those regards, as far as those players go and that position goes. So, but I mean, anywhere the Packers draft on defense, in the secondary, we've touched on the safety and cornerback positions, or it's a linebacker or a defensive line, the Packers need the help. Need the help. No doubt about it. I've had a real fun time doing this internet draft, Mock 4. Follow along at Twitter, the hashtag's Mock 4. And you know, we've gone heavy on defense. Just talked about this on the last show. We drafted Dante Hightower, Alabama linebacker, with our first round pick. Drafted Brandon Thompson, Clemson defensive lineman, second rounder. Derek Wolfe, Cincinnati third rounder. And I didn't think at all it was a reach to pick defensive players for need. I really personally thought we picked the best available player in each of those three rounds, you know, where the Packers would conceivably, you know, need help on defense. I thought we were just staying to the best player available philosophy, and it just so happened they were all players on defense. And maybe that's what happens for the Packers this year. You know, hopefully the best available players are defensive players, and they can improve that defense. 'Cause the offense should still be fine this year in 2012. It's hard to imagine the offense taking a step back anytime soon beyond 2012 for that matter. You know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is running the show and they have a deep receiving core, I mean, that the offense is going to be potent. And not to say the Packers can't add some talent on offense. I'm just hoping that in the early rounds it's on defense. Being selfish that I am. So Ted Thompson, he'll stick to his best available player philosophy. And again, you just hope that it dovetails, that need and best player available dovetail with defensive players this year. So we'll find out less than a week away. You know, yesterday on the JS Online podcast, we did touch on the running back position as well. And it's kind of interesting because of the status of Ryan Grant, you know, being a free agent. Here we are a month into free agency, and the Packers haven't conceivably, or that I can see, it hasn't played out in the media, that the Packers have made an attempt to sign Ryan Grant. It's my personal opinion that they're going to wait until the draft is over, because if they take a running back, well, maybe they don't sign Ryan Grant back. I mean, thinking that, okay, we've brought it back in now, so we're pretty set. We're happy with where we are. And again, speculation on my part. These are just thoughts that are coming into my mind. These aren't things that I've heard from Ted Thompson that he said in his press conference. You know, just what I'm thinking in my head. But I think it's certainly not out of the question, that line of thinking. Going back to Mock 4, the internet mock draft we're taking part in the fourth round, with one of our comp picks, we selected Temple running back Bernard Pierce, who I thought, once again, one of the best available players. I'm personally not even that big on this year's running back class in the draft, or I don't really perceive it as this huge need for the Packers, but I thought he filled the best available player, and I do think he's going to be a pretty good pro if he could stay healthy. There's been comparisons out there to Emmett Smith to Bernard Pierce from Temple, and I just don't take those comparisons lightly. I mean, if the Packers can get an Emmett Smith type back in the fourth round, you don't pass that up. I don't care if he doesn't really fit the offense, and Bernard Pierce is not a guy who, in fact, one of his weakest points is like his what he can provide in the passing game. Came off the field a lot on third downs at Temple. Has not caught many passes out of the backfield. And that certainly doesn't fit what the Packers do. But if he's an Emmett Smith type player, and that's yet to be determined, and he's got a long way to go to prove that, long way to go to prove that. But I think in the fourth round, that's a risk you can take. That's a risk worth taking for that type of player. So, I certainly don't preclude the Packers from drafting a running back. I hope to God it's not in the first round. If the Packers take Doug Martin in the first round, I won't be happy. If they did so in the second round, him or Chris Polk, okay. Don't do it in the first. I really probably wouldn't be very happy either if they did in the second round, but at least it's not in the first. As long as they go defense in the first round, right? That's the way I see it. I was impressed. Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote that article on Chris Polk. It's going on about 2 weeks ago that the Packers supposedly have interest in him. And, you know, I did a little bit more research on him after that article, a little bit of reading on him, not really research, but I like what I see. I do see a big back that has some good speed for his size. And I like what he did his college career, especially his senior year at Washington. I like what Polk did. Remember watching him. I watched that whole Alamo Bowl, Baylor, Washington, what a game. You remember that? That was the game that ended 70-60, in that range. fantastic game. But that's just going to about wrap it up here on Railbird Central today. Thanks for joining us, everyone, here on a Friday. We'll be back on Monday, as we're on the air every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on Railbird Central. Be talking more NFL draft. It'll just be a stone's throw away then, right? But stay tuned all weekend long as we provide you all the Packers news. Thank you so much to Northwestern Superback Drake Dunsmore for joining us on the show today. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. Have a good weekend, everyone. Go, Pack, go. I leave you with a song called Believe the Lie from Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.